another Sunday morning, our Ask the Mayor public affairs program, and our Honorable Mayor Patrick Taylor, he has been involved. The 27th of February, there was a town board meeting, his community coffee, and this is Sunday. Of course, we've got March 3rd, and what should we do? We have our right to vote.
I will tell you, Steve, hope that everybody will go out and vote in these primaries, regardless of your party. The community, the country needs your vote. Give a shout out to the poll workers. I really appreciate everything that they do, and I'm going to try to remember to bring them a cup of coffee in the morning of Election Day, because they need a little pickup after dealing with all the folks coming in to vote. Really hope that we have a good turnout for this primary.
Yeah, me too. 8 a.m. on Tuesday. Polls open and close at 7:30, so get out and vote on Tuesday. Okay, let's start the ball rolling with your Thursday board meeting. Sam Lucas, Dogwood Foundation, came in, and there has been a lot of questions coming in about HCA. Was glad to see the Attorney General saying, I want some answers about what I've heard.
I'm glad that Sam came. He's on the board of directors for the Dogwood Health Trust. With this transition to HCA and mission, the Dogwood Health Trust has been created. They will have a $1.5 billion endowment, probably be giving out about $75 million a year to different nonprofits and agencies to address the issue of social determinants of health in the 18-county region of North Carolina, plus the Cherokee Nations. It's a broad population that they'll be trying to serve. Sam gave us an update of how they're organizing. It takes a lot to develop a staff and get the policies in place and get the granting process underway. They've already started issuing grants, are very excited about what they'll be able to do in the coming months and years. Also, there's a connection to HCA and the issues that have been in the newspaper and the Dogwood Trust. The Dogwood Trust hired the monitor to review the performance in the transition of HCA. So they have a stake in this whole process. And Sam, you know, acknowledged that at the presentation. I'm very supportive of what HCA is trying to do, but there have been some problems that the public has been bringing up about the service at HCA, the billing, the patient care, and so forth. And I think it's healthy that the public is weighing in now, and we're having this conversation as the process begins to get underway. I want to be critical if it's needed, but also I want to be very positive about some of the potential programs that HCA will have here at our hospital. And let me be clear, while we might have some problems at our hospital, I think they can be fixed if there are any major problems. But the big concern is not just the Highlands Hospital. I think we've done some things in emergency care and everything that's very important. The big problem, though, is the overall system and how it's working. Billing, how you transport patients, the care, the staffing with nurses and doctors and so forth. So this is a more global review, I think, that the public is having about HCA. I know in Asheville there are a lot of people that are concerned, and then the outlying areas there are concerns. But I'm still positive that I think that things can be corrected and we can move forward. In my article this week, I wrote about the same nursing shortage in Macon County, and here's what that is. The SANE nurse is a certified nurse who is trained in sexual abuse, nursing, and examinations. So if there's a victim of a sexual attack, they can go to a hospital, and the evidence and so forth can be collected by these trained nurses. Doctors can do that if they're not trained or if they're not willing to do it because there might be court and legal connections to it. That might not necessarily be the case, but the trained nurses, and they have to be certified, is really the first resource in these tragic situations. What I'm concerned about is that we have some certified nurses in this field in Macon County, and I don't really think that necessarily they should be here at the Highlands Hospital, but at least at Angel. So if there is an incident where their services are needed, instead of expecting that victim to be transported over long distances for a long period of time, we can get these certified nurses either here in the hospital or get the victim very quickly to their facility and do this procedure as quickly as possible. That's what I was concerned about. Our police chief, Bill Harrell, share similar concerns about this. And he has dealt with, of course, sexual abuse cases. And we do have a pretty substantial number of sexual abuse cases in Macon County each year. So we just need to have the resources available to address these terrible situations in a timely manner.
Yeah, well written on your Marin on Duty and well expressed there. Thank you for that. So the topics that came up on Thursday, the 27th at the board meeting, the motoring festival, if 5 inches of rain come down, what happens? What do they want?
Well, last year was memorable. They had worked so hard. They have been rated in one magazine as the number one motoring festival in the United States. And they'd done all of that planning only to be blasted with rain on Saturday. Steve Helm did the presentation as a representative of the Motoring Festival, and he said, despite the rain, we really exceeded our financial expectations that we had. So that's good news. But they want some flexibility. One of the problems that they're facing is that the Bank of America would not give them permission to use their parking lot this year because I think that they don't know that they'll be owning that building by the time the festival comes around. And they wanted the closure of Fifth Street like we have and just extend it a little bit. And then they also asked to be able to have their Sunday event, which has been at Wright Square, where the participants bring their cars back to kind of a breakfast type of rally event on Sunday. They would like to use that at or use the park to have that event on Sunday. They've cleared it with the churches that they will not interfere with services. So they want kind of a default position. If they were to be in a bad rain situation on Saturday like they were last year, they'd like to be able to kind of postpone the show and the judging and have it on Sunday in kind of a scale back format, but still be able to have the show in better weather conditions. So the board voted to approve all of those requests.
A mouthful. The non-native invasive plant group came in, and we have addressed that several times and for several years, and we know the situation. These non-native invasive plants are, we need to get rid of them. So what was the presentation?
They are seeking grants from the Colesage Garden Club, and they want the town to match that grant. And of course, the board was very supportive. We appropriated $2,000 for the spraying and trying to control of that really bad invasive Japanese knotweed, which is just everywhere now on the right-of-way, town property, private property, and so forth. At one time, I thought they were kind of the voice in the wilderness about invasive plant species, but you know, I've been reading just recently the U.S. Forest Service, the North Carolina Forest Service, and a number of other nonprofit groups throughout Western Carolina. They're fighting the same battle because it is a battle that if we don't win, it'll change the ecosystem of this whole mountain area. So I was very glad that the board was very quick to approve that funding. I would make one observation. I don't think this is a one-shot type of thing. I think it's an ongoing effort. The battle will never be totally won, and they'll continually have to address the control of these invasive species.
I've enjoyed some of the improvements of the Greenway Trail right down by the rec center. I see that there's new trails, and the Greenway Trail, Oak Street by the Baptist Church, that's been okayed?
That's correct. They've cut a new trail right there, and they're wanting to make that kind of a entryway for our visitors downtown, that there'll be a sign there with directions and so forth, and then there'll be some plantings, and there'll be just a nice entryway into the trail where someone could walk down through the recreation park by the old stream, cross the bridge, and then continue on the trail or walk back to town.
Public hearings, here we go, and they must be done. They can be a little fatiguing, at least on my end, but this is what must be done. The UDO.
That's right.
And the subdivision developments, we've got to pave some roads if somebody's going to be doing some subdividing.
I remember years ago before I was mayor when they developed the UDO, we brought experts in to review all the different provisions and all the language. They did a good job, except there are always changes. We always see contradictions, exceptions. It's kind of a fluid document in many ways. Michael Mathis, our assistant planner, and our town manager, Josh Ward, were looking at some real specific language and issues and realized that we need to address changing those issues. And one of the issues that I think is very important will be a proposed change in the subdivision ordinance. The change would be that if you're a developer and you're going to put in a subdivision, the roads need to be paved. instead of, we had a committee that looked at it, said if it's a 5% grade or less or something, that you didn't have to pave the road. We discussed this last night. Commissioner Hain pointed out, why not just have the whole roads being paved as you're putting in a subdivision? And we also address, if you don't pave a road, you invariably have sediment runoff and erosion, and we need to, whenever possible, address that issue. So we will have a public hearing, and the proposal will be any future subdivisions, the requirement will be that you have to have the roads paved. We have a number of roads in town, some of them state roads like Big Bear Pen, Upper Lake, Lower Lake, that are not paved. Some people have been concerned about certain developments cause runoff and everything, and my response is yes, that is the case in some degree, but also the entire road is a runoff problem. And if we can get those kind of roads surfaced with a hard surface, it'll improve the issues of sedimentation and runoff. And that's why I've talked with the DOT, for example, about the possibility of paving a part of Big Bear Pen. We probably need, with our planning retreat, to look at paving our town road of Upper Lake Road, and whenever possible, try to pave these dirt roads, because when you have the amount of rain in a distressed area like Highlands, and I mean, we've been having rainfall right now, we're on track to exceed well over 100 inches of rain this year. Erosion and sedimentation is going to be a problem. We've got to do the best we can to address it.
I'm not trying to be facetious. It's like a chiropractic adjustment going on some of these roads with some of the ditches.
Yeah.
So it'd be great to have those, especially Big Bear Pen.
And I was riding up on Upper Lake the other day. Lamar Nix, our town engineer, was saying, you know, you see those potholes and all of those rippling dips that you have? He says, that is just a direct result of that rain coming off the mountain and running across the road. And unless we put a hard surface on some of these roads, it's just an ongoing battle to keep them maintained.
Now, on this meeting, of course, you have addressed in the comprehensive plan. The fire department is one of those things that have been talked about. We saw that. We discussed that and saw the plans for it, initial plans on the front page of the Highlander and other newspapers there. And a construction manager has been chosen.
That's correct. We have our public safety committee, and they met. And they had requested proposals from construction management companies, and they made a final selection this week, and we reviewed that at the board, and now we have a construction manager that will start the process of building the fire department, and they'll work with the architect in holding down the cost. And then also, we did pass an RFP for hiring a company to work with our town planning board in developing a comprehensive plan, which is long overdue. So we'll be requesting companies and consultants to submit their credentials and a proposal, and hopefully by the beginning of the budget year, we will have a company selected, and they will begin working with the planning board and other stakeholders in developing this comprehensive plan that'll take about 8 to 12 months to actually complete. And, you know, we will be talking about budget allocations at our retreat. And we're expecting to allocate anywhere between $80,000 and $100,000 to engage the services of these professional consultants.
Well, you mentioned that the budget retreat coming up March 5th at Coleman Hall, and you're going to enjoy that box lunch that you guys were all waiting for.
Oh, Steve, I always look forward to that box lunch. That's my big freebie for the town. And that is, we have an all-day retreat at Coleman Hall at the Presbyterian Church, and we always appreciate the church providing that facility. And then we all look forward to that box lunch at about noontime that we will eat, and then we resume our discussions and our retreat into the afternoon. The public is invited to come in and hear our discussions. This is not a town meeting. It's basically a retreat where our staff and our commissioners have a discussion about what are the priorities and needs this July.
Now, you had a very busy week leading up to this Ask the Mayor program that we're playing back on Sunday in the morning at 7 o'clock. And on Friday the 28th, you had your first community coffee and discussing and asking questions. Does anybody have any ideas for the budget? And how did that presentation go, by the way?
I probably talked too much. But I really appreciate the Hudson Library always being willing to host this event. And I was glad we had a good turnout of people that are concerned about, you know, the town and wanted to know what we were planning. It wasn't really we, it was what I think the budget, some of the priorities should be. And I'll remind everybody, it's not what the mayor decides, it's what the town board votes on when it comes to putting the budget together. But I want to get the feedback from the citizens so I can kind of advocate for the best things for Highlands. So it was a good meeting, and I enjoy being able to meet with the citizens, especially after my presentation. We have Q&A, and then even after that, I'm happy to talk to people one-on-one about issues, and they share a lot of things with me.
Well, quite the contrary. The more you talk, the more that I know. So keep doing it.
All right.
Okay. All right, Mayor, thank you. Ask the Mayor Public Affairs Program. If you have a question for the mayor, obviously call us. Leave a message, 526-1045. You want to give out your number for any kind of questions?
Sure, I'd be happy to. It's 828-506-3138.
All right, Mayor, have a great day.